100 sign-up is over, but still sign up if you haven't.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm planning the large group games. The cards in the back. There are cards in the back that you can sign up on. There is also a box in the back. It was over there last time. By the gym now, I guess. I haven't been here for a while. But put some questions in there. I think it's going to be like a panel discussion. I don't really think that there's a restriction on questions, so feel free to ask whatever you want.
When the sermon is over, wait to be dismissed. You'll be dismissed by groups.
And lastly, there's going to be a meeting on the missions trips. That'll be April 11th after church at 12 p.m. So please be there. We need a lot of good faces on the missions trips. Thank you.
It is now. So we moved the box for the questions because we are not getting any questions. And so each room has slips of paper and an envelope. So please, please submit questions for your friends.
Or you have to listen to me
and
Eric to our church.
Yeah. And in other exciting news, we have hired a new person at Timberwood Church. And that person is not me. That is Amanda Quisberg, who is our new... Come on up, Amanda. Since so many people are like, we don't know you because you work with the junior high. Amanda is our new Family Ministries Coordinator.
Hello, guys. I know many of you, but I'm sad because I was just telling the guys back there, I don't get to see you because I'm in junior high and we're separated. So I feel like some of you I've never even met, and so I want to know you. But I do have an announcement regarding the missions. So this year, the two mission quick trips are Rock Ridge and Mink Lake. If you want to attend them, please have your parents and you come to the meeting. There also is a Detroit trip, and we have this year, because we can only take a limited number of students, there's a student leadership team, which if you don't know what that is, you need to talk to your leader about that. But we had just opened the trip up for just those students because they were the exact number of students we needed or could take on the trip. However, not all of them can go. So I'm opening it up to seniors. So if you are a senior girl and a senior guy, please seek out an application from your leader and really consider, because we'd love to have you on the trip. So that's my spiel, and I'm excited to get to know you guys and be in this new role. So thanks, guys.
All right, so Amanda is going to be teaching next Wednesday. I almost said Thursday. The reason why I was going to say Thursday is because tomorrow night we have a very exciting opportunity. Tomorrow night is Maundy Thursday of Holy Week, Easter week. And so we always do a service on Maundy Thursday, and it's a little bit different. It's a lot different than all the other services we do. It's at 7 o'clock, so if you want to come, you're more than welcome. We'd love to have you guys join us tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, over there. So check it out. So growing up, I was kind of non-traditional. And so in high school, one of the non-traditional sports I played was, you don't really play it as more as participate in powerlifting. And so how I got into powerlifting was when my brother was into it, and we used to work out at this place called The Edge. And it was in the back of this old building. And there was this guy there that when I was in seventh grade, I swore this guy was like super old. He was probably 25. But he was just jacked. I mean, yoked. Because he was into powerlifting, and he was also into bodybuilding. And when I was in seventh grade, I'm like, look at how much this guy can lift. Oh And so Dan, he became one of our coaches. And whenever we had a lifting question, we'd say, Dan, what should we do? And if he ever saw us doing curls, he'd be like, knock it off. Not really. But that's what he should have said. That's why my arms don't straighten all the way. That's a different story for a different time. Anyways, Dan became our mentor, and he became our coach. And he would meet with us after school, and he would write us lifting programs. And then he helped build us up into this team. And we broke state records, and we won state championships. And it was incredible. And once Dan left, it all kind of fell apart. But Dan will forever be a key figure in my life as it relates to lifting. Now, today we're going to talk about key figures in individuals' lives and Paul's idea around how that looks. So we are in chapter 2 of Titus. I believe it's page 998. 998 in the Mustard Bible. Like I said, Amanda is going to be teaching next week I believe it is the 7th, right? Is that right? Yes, because then the 14th, then the panel discussion is 21st and 28th. So we are in Titus chapter 2, and Paul says this to Titus. He says, but as for you. Now, that's interesting because remember last week what we were talking about? We were talking about Victoria, she's excused. She has a disabled human being that she has to take care of at home, so we just give her a pass. Last week we were talking about these teachers that were teaching all these false things. Remember all the McDonald's that I had in the back of my car and all that? And he's making a clear distinction between those people and the people that are in the church. I like to say, he has this big but right here. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. How do you tell if something has gone bad in the fridge? Like, have you ever poured yourself a glass of orange juice and thought, I didn't realize this orange juice was carbonated. That's kind of a sign that it's no longer good. Or have you ever had, like, say, watermelon that's been sitting in the fridge, and you take a bite and you say, it's kind of fizzy in my mouth. So this is a few years ago. I had decided to smoke a bunch of chickens. Not like to kill them, but to take the dead chickens from the store, put them in my smoker, and they were smoking, and I was kind of running out of time, and so I thought, they're good, so I put them in a big bowl and threw them right into the fridge, and then we left town for like 2 days. And we came home, and we opened the front door, and we're like, did we forget to take out the trash? I was like, open the fridge, they'll be fine. They weren't fine. It's interesting because you know that something is bad either by smelling or tasting. And what Paul is telling Titus is the people that are teaching need to teach things that are, as he describes, sound doctrine. Now, this word sound should be better translated healthy What is healthy doctrine? You know, we say, oh, gee, I wonder if this bag of chips is healthy. Yeah, we probably don't ever wonder that. You don't ever go to the movie theater. I love to go to the movies. You always get the large popcorn. Because, why do you get the large popcorn? Because there's free refills. Not during COVID, but COVID's going to end, and there will be, do you work at the movie theater?
No, it's just recently there.
Yeah, some people are like, free refills? Yes. The problem is, after you eat two large popcorns and drink a large pop and eat a box of hot tamales, you say, why did I do that? What Paul is trying to say is you need to be consuming the things that are going to bring about health in your life. And this is the doctrine that he is talking about. So how do we go about doing that? Well, first of all, he lays out this couple different groups of people, and he gives them characteristics or classifications or actions that they should be engaging with, because they are going to be instructing younger folks. So in verse 2, he says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Well, who are the older men? Part of this is, rather than trying to figure out, oh, do I qualify for that group? Do I not qualify for that group? Let's just look at these traits and say, do these things match up with my life? Now, each one of the groups has this call to be self-controlled. Who's your favorite Muppet? You guys watch the Muppets?
Beaker.
The what? Beaker? Okay, how about this? Raise of hands who hasn't seen the Muppets. Okay, so we'll pray for you. Hands down, the best Muppet is Animal. Right? Animal, the drummer. And Animal's big thing is he's always being crazy. And I love it in the Muppets movie, Animal, he gets taken to anger management. And he has a chain around his neck, and his sponsor is Jack Black. And the Muppets come to free Animal because they're getting the band back together. And what's his big thing? Drums, yes, which is his trigger word. And then he always says, in control. That's what I think of when I think of this verse. When you think about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? In control. No? Part of it is being able to control yourself. Then he says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Part of what we see here is this mentoring relationship. This relationship between older individuals and younger individuals. So we oftentimes think of this as like old people, like myself, older adults, with younger people, like you all. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, because some of you are older and some of you are younger. So we can all fit into this category, and all of us know people who are either older than us or younger than us. And why is it that we are to have these relationships between older individuals who are mature in their faith and younger individuals who are maturing in their faith? Well, we get this hint in verse 5, that the word of God may not be reviled. So, a few years ago, I was at this event, and I ran into some people who do not attend Timberwood Church, and I have a strong, let's say, affinity for sarcasm, wit, and banter. And so this individual was engaging with me in some wit and banter, and so I engaged back. Much like a, how would we say, verbal sparring. Well, needless to say, it didn't go very well, and I received an email from this person's significant other that said things to the effect of, if you are what represents Timberwood Church, I will never go to Timberwood Church. And I was like, okay, not so good. Because if we say we are followers of Jesus Christ, and our actions are contrary to that, when people see our actions that are contrary, they say, if that's what a follower of Jesus Christ looks like, I want nothing to do with it. And so that is part of why we see these lists of Paul talking about being self-controlled, being pure, being sound in faith and in love, because we don't want to speak negatively about who Jesus is through the actions that we display. Like, if you ever think about, say, you have a favorite sports team, or, I mean, even think about people in a group at school that you don't like, okay? There's, like, groups of people that you're like, oh, yeah, I don't really like them. Like, in our growing up, there was, like, you know, how do you say it? Like the Hicks. You guys still say that? I know you do. That's kind of a different category. But you're like, oh, see, that's how all Hicks act. What do people say when they see us living our lives? Do they say, well, that's how all Christians act, in a positive way or in a negative way? Because Paul says our actions should reflect a way that the word of God is not reviled. Or differently, he says in verse 8 that they would have nothing evil to say about us. That they would have nothing evil to say about us. Now, the challenge when we get to these lists is again, we can say, well, I don't fit that category, or we can grossly overgeneralize what the categories look like. And so, unfortunately, when we read a list like verse 5, ladies, you're like, excuse me, I object. I'm not sure I agree with this part of the Bible. Well, because part of it is it gets overused. And again, Paul is writing to a specific group of people at a specific time in a specific location. And so these actions don't only apply to women in verse 5. Likewise, the list for the gentlemen doesn't only apply to the gentlemen. It applies, in fact, to all of us. We're having massive technical difficulties, so we don't even know what's going on. I mean, Lee's back there. He doesn't like kids. I mean, he... Just kidding. So in verse 6, we get this list. Likewise, urge the younger men to be... Oh, come on. In control. You guys all, maybe when you get to your groups, you pull out your phones, you YouTube Animal Muppets In Control, you'll have a wonderful laugh. You probably won't. You'll be like, clearly you're one of those old guys that needs to be sober-minded. He says, show yourself, men or ladies, all of us should show ourselves in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. To be a model of good works. You've heard the phrase, right? Like, do as I say, not as I do. You've never heard that? Yeah, that shouldn't exist. It's like, I know you see me doing this, but really you shouldn't do that. It's like now that Maddie's driving, like, just don't look at my speedometer, follow the speed limit. See, that's why I put Murphy and I on the back of my truck, so that if I'm speeding, somebody can say, I saw you, you were speeding. How did you know it was me? I saw your face on your truck. Okay, now you got me. To be a model of good works, you should be following how this life of a follower of Jesus Christ looks like, so that no one can have anything to say about you, having nothing evil to say about us. And then we have these interesting verses in 9 and 10. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. Why are they to act this way? So that in everything you may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Now, it's interesting because when we see this, we can ask ourselves, is Paul saying that slavery is okay? No, he's not. That's what bondservants mean, slaves. Now, slaves existed at the time, and yes, it was slightly different than the slavery that existed in the United States of America, but it was still slavery. It still was not good. And the church at the time was so small that they weren't able to really make a big move, and some of these people depended on where they were at, and they couldn't just free themselves. And so what Paul is saying, where you find yourself in the location that you're at, be the best that you can be. To say it differently, this might read, children, while living in your parents' home. You ever feel like I'm a slave here? But what if we put that in there? What if we said, children, while living at home, be submissive to your own parents? Oh, eek. Smell that chicken? Submissive? Yuck. Well-pleasing and not argumentative. Yes, I object. Can you guys imagine this? If you lived like this in your home, your parents would say, what is wrong with you? I'm trying to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? What happened? Your parents would be reaching out to me saying, what did you do to my child? I say, the Holy Spirit is alive and well and active. Not pilfering, meaning stealing, but showing all good faith. Why are they to do these things? Why are they to live these lives? Why are we to do the things that we do in our lives? So then everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. So that when somebody looks at our life, they say, wow, look at that person. I want to have what that person has. Because clearly the life that they're living is so attractive, I want me some of that. It's like when I, seventh grade, I'm looking at this guy that's just like, oof. I'm like, that's what I want to look like. Well, how do we do that? We find somebody who's older than us. It could be an adult. It could be somebody that's just older than us in age. And that helps move us further and further and further down the road towards Christ. That is the beauty of the relationships that you guys have with your youth leaders. And maybe some of you will develop with each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come tonight and we thank you for this opportunity to be together and to laugh and I guess to cry if we feel like it, but to listen to your word and to open to your word and to ask questions of you and your Spirit and to build each other up as we seek to bring glory and honor to you through the lives that we live. And Father, I just pray for the time that these students will have in their small groups, that the discussion would be edifying, that we can seek ways that we can grow in our faith with each other, and find relationships that will help draw us closer to you and move us in a way that when our friends and those around us see our actions, that your word is honored and people are drawn to your son, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alrighty.